Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC, and we're coming to you live from the Czech Republic. As promised, the traveling Sam Nation microphone has been unpacked. It has been plugged in. I think all systems are a go. Can't see Robbie, but I think he's somewhere back on the mothership nodding. I have a good feeling about it. Anyway, here we are. It's early morning. We're 9 hours ahead. So literally, what you are hearing, these words coming out of my mouth, are coming to you from the future. So think about that. Pretty heavy stuff. I am in a little town in the Czech Republic called Karlovy Vary. And it is a town of about 50,000 people. It is about an hour and a half west of Prague. Beautiful, beautiful place. Got a lot of old architecture, crooked streets, and a lot of natural beauty to it. The town is built along a small river in a valley, in a river gorge, and there are stone, small cliffs, if you will, on either side. And there are homes, there are beautiful buildings that are, some of them hundreds of years old, built into the stone. And you have, both sidewalks and streets up above that zigzag down, and it forms a really beautiful panorama. As you're walking through the old town, you've got the river, and then you have these buildings on either side that kind of come up the slope of the mountain. And then in the heart of town, as you're walking through the main district, the old town, they have all these, they have different colonnades, and statues, and they're all built around these fountains. And these fountains they're interesting because they'll kind of look, not like a drinking fountain, but it'll look like maybe a stone bowl that is not too big. And then there'll be a metal spout, and some of these spouts are 200-300 years old, made of brass or whatnot. And out of it is gushing, a constant gush of this hot, steaming water. And this is a mineral water that's found naturally under this town. And it's an old spa town. It's still working and functioning as such. So what you have is people will come here, and let's say they've got some ailment, and their doctor will say, well, you can certainly take this medication, but I also recommend that you go for a couple weeks and visit this town, and go see a doctor there, and he'll prescribe to you which fountains to drink from. And literally, this is how it works. You take a little mug, you buy an ornate mug. I don't know why it has to be ornate, but everybody walks around with these little ceramic ornate mugs with pictures of the town on it. And then they've got a prescription from the doctor who's told them, go to fountain 2, 5, and 7. And so they walk, and they have to each day go to each of those fountains and drink from them. I have tried the water on previous visits, and I know better not to touch it because it's like sulfurous. And it tastes horribly, and it can do things to your digestive tract that I cannot speak of on the radio. So you just, if you come here, you've got to try the water. It's a thing. You do it once, cross it off the list, and never look back. But they're just kind of dripping. Some of them have a bigger, a more voluminous flow. And then there's one giant fountain, geyser actually in the middle of town. And that one kind of, I don't know, it's a little like Old Faithful. It's like that, it kind of sputters. But it's more constant than Old Faithful. It's always going and steaming. And you're walking at night. It's really magical. You'll be walking at night through this town like I just did. Here before I earlier this evening, and I looked at it, and I was walking through, and all the buildings are lit. The facades of them are lit, and they're all, a lot of these buildings, very ornate, will have these stucco angels and different reliefs and just variety to these facades, and when they're lit up against it, you see all the shadows. It's just beautiful. And then, you know, old cobblestones, but then in these colonnades and in these fountains, you will see the steam rising, because in the evening the air gets a little bit colder, and so this stuff comes out really hot. And so you'll see steam coming up, and it's a magical sight. And then these crazy people walking around with their little mugs. It's funny. Trust me, it's cool. Also, what's going on? Film festival. Big film festival here. I think this year is the 52nd Carlo Vivari Film Festival. We got some Hollywood people here. Nobody too famous. And besides, I'm the worst with celebrity sightings, so I wouldn't know if I could have run into somebody famous today, and I wouldn't be able to tell you. So big film festival going on. Lots of energy, lots of people out on the street. This is not like Cannes. I've never been to Cannes, but you know, that type of film festival is very shushy and high end. Very fancy. Everybody shows up in their gowns and everything's closed off. And that's at least the way I understand the Cannes works. But here, this is much more of a people's festival. So some really good people watching, first of all, because people from all over come here. But a lot of backpackers and people show up, and there's, you know, $5 tickets, you know, $3 tickets to some movies, and people go and will see, you know, see the offerings and see the movies. And so it's not just a festival for rich Hollywood types. It is a people's film festival. Very nice. And the last thing I can tell you about the town that I'm in, Carlo Vivari, West Czech Republic, is that they filmed a great movie here. And I don't know if you remember Casino Royale. This is the James Bond, the second one, the remake, with Daniel Craig. And they filmed that movie. If you remember, that was the one where he's playing a card game in the casino, and things go wrong. And then there, but the town that it happens in, it's all fictitious, but it's all filmed here. So you know, like that colonnade that I described, it's all here. It's in the movie. And you'll see it in different scenes, but it's that film is almost entirely filmed on location here in Carlo Vivari. So if you've seen the movie, you have a good idea of where I am at. Absolutely beautiful. Now, I am not the only American in Europe, as it so happens. President Donald Trump is on the continent, on the European continent, here on his own Euro trip, second trip abroad. And so far, from what I can gather, it's going very well. Now, today he just arrived in Germany, in Hamburg, at the G20 summit. I'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But before that, he was in Warsaw, in Poland. And the trip's really important. I'll explain to you why he went to Poland. You think it was accidental? Well, first of all, nothing's accidental. But do you wonder why he went to Poland? That's a good question. I mean, why, you know, of all the places to go, why hit up Poland? The Polish government is an ally ideologically with Donald Trump. I mean, they are a right wing government. They are very much opposed to mass migration from North Africa and the Middle East. Very concerned with radical Islam. And they are one of the countries in Europe that are saying no. No, they're not saying no. They're actually saying hell no to the European Union, because the European Union is forcing its member states to accept refugees. So it's not good enough for Angela Merkel in Germany to commit suicide culturally, if you will, just on behalf of Germany. She wants to spread the pain all across Europe. And a number of countries, including Poland, also the Czech Republic, where I am at right now, Hungary as well, have said, no, we're just not taking refugees. Hungary went a step further. They actually built a wall and have been forcibly blocking migrants from entering their country. So you have a bit of a standoff. Trump visiting one of these countries, visiting Poland, which has a friendly government, has a leadership that is very pro-Trump and shares a number of ideologies with him, we'll say, is one, a giant poke in the eye at Angela Merkel. So, you know, the G20 summit, who's there? Well, today I saw it on TV. Trump, you know, shook, it was very frosty, shook Angela Merkel's hand. There was no funny business with the handshake. No, I know what you're thinking. This is a very basic basic meeting, but frosty. You can just tell that relationship is strained. And that's okay. We don't, you know, he needs to work out a good trade deal with Germany, and that's about it. But the other person who Trump is going to meet tomorrow is Putin. And I would describe the Polish government as being somewhat hostile to Russia, antagonistic to Russia. And one of the biggest issues is natural gas, is energy. And it's not really being reported. I've scoured, you know, looked at what various press is reporting about it in the States. And I can tell you the big issue that I was following here today, here being on the ground, being, you know, a country next door, is that Trump pledged to Poland that he would provide them with energy independence, that he would send American natural gas to Poland. Now, if you're wondering how the heck he's going to do that, they're giant tankers, the gas goes onto the tankers. It's a light, so it's in that sense easy to transport, and it's shipped across the ocean. We've got plenty of natural gas, so he would sell American natural gas to Poland, and it's a big deal because up until now, Poland was entirely dependent on who? On Russia. Exactly. The Russian Federation supplied gas to Poland and has threatened on a number of occasions to cut it off. It's been a giant bargaining chip. And this all matters. This is all important because of NATO. And you got to understand the geography of Europe. Poland is really the frontier of the West. It is the border of where Europe, in a sense, ends and the Wild East begins. Because while you have, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, which are, by the way, all NATO members, off to the east, kind of as buffers between Poland and Russia, Poland is right up there. I mean, it is butting into, it is the cushion between Germany, which is, you know, really Western Europe, and Russia. And so it's been in play politically where certainly Putin wants to exert his influence there. And Trump is able to, before his meeting with Putin tomorrow, to kind of, well, throw his weight around a little bit and show Putin that, look, I'm making an out. I'm going right into your backyard and I am making a deal. This is something like if Putin went to Mexico and made a trade deal with Mexico just to poke Trump in the eye. And he might do that. I mean, that would be Putin's answer to this. But you've got to think about it in those terms, right in his backyard. And so what I think it shows is, well, Trump wants to set the stage for his meeting with Putin tomorrow. He's going to have all eyes on him. And he wants to be sure that Putin knows that he's willing to play hardball. And I also think that he may use this deal with Poland potentially as leverage. And what did he? If you go just to Trump's speech, which I think was phenomenal. He gave a great speech in Warsaw. The mainstream media is calling it dark and, you know, divisive and all their usual nonsense. But it was Churchillian. I mean, it was just it was a powerful statement on borders, on preservation of Western civilization, on culture, and really framing the immigration question and the border control question as a fundamental existential fight for survival. And I agree with him on this front absolutely. And so you know, he called out Putin in the speech too. And said, you know, he basically told Putin to stop supporting regimes that are hostile to the West, like Syria and Iran. And specifically Trump called out Putin to join responsible nations and orienting himself to the West. It's an interesting move. And so I think on one hand, he's got a conciliatory message. On the other hand, Trump has, is carrying some stick. And that stick is, hey, I'm in your backyard and I'm making friends. So don't mess with me. All right, hang tight. I'll tell you more about the Czech Republic. I'll be back right after these messages.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojovsky back here live from the Czech Republic. Early morning, 9 hours ahead. Forgive me, long travel day. So if I sound tired, that explains it. I think I need to, in talking about Trump going to Warsaw and speaking to the Polish people, there's a powerful, not just symbolism, but an actual palpable diplomatic reason for him doing this. The best way I can explain it is context. A context that I think for most of us in the States is difficult to understand. There are people in Poland, there are people in the Czech Republic, there are people elsewhere in Eastern Europe who actually have a reasonable fear of Russia. I'm not talking about the CNN fear of Russia. I'm not talking about Adam Schiff, congressman from California, fear of Russia. We know that's horse crap. These are countries that have been invaded, that have been subjugated, that have suffered under the Soviet Union, and that have, in the last few years, been looking at Russia's aggression elsewhere in the region, i.e. the Ukraine, and have felt very uneasy. The people that fear Russia acting, I will say this, these are not conspiracy theorist type people. They do not wear tinfoil hats. These are reasonable, intelligent people who are students of history and understand that Russia, Putin, but it's not limited to just Putin, it's an oversimplification. Russia still has imperial ambitions. And that there are many in the Russian government that are still chapped and bruised over the fact that Russia, the Russian Federation, is a much smaller country with less influence than its former iteration, namely the USSR. And the countries that used to be part of the Eastern Bloc, part of the Warsaw Convention, countries that formed the outer expanses of the Soviet Empire are worried that Russia may come calling and ask for them back. They're not going to ask. They'll just take. And so during the election, when Trump was barking about NATO, which was a fair call, but nonetheless, these countries were, like Poland and the Czech Republic, were getting very nervous because the NATO treaty keeps these countries, at least in theory, safe. And that was the big discussion with the Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine was, at that point, just crying to try to get into NATO as Russia was slowly attacking it from various places. And it wasn't happening. But in theory, if the Soviet Union, excuse me, if Russia attacked Poland as a part of NATO, an attack on one is an attack on all. And so, so this is why Trump going to Warsaw is also really important and symbolic, because it is an assurance not just to Warsaw, but to Prague and to Budapest and to other capitals across countries in Eastern Europe that are a part of NATO. And America is saying, we stand with you. And this is an enormous departure from what the general tone was from Obama. because, you know, in the past administration, very little interest in protecting Europe. A lot of talk, of course, you know, and Obama never called for anybody to pay up. But I do think I did recognize it's palpable over here. You know, and in fact, if you remember, Russia killed the Obama killed the rocket system, Russian anti-Russian rocket defense system that was installed and was beginning to get installed in the Czech Republic under George W. Bush. Killed it. Obama killed it in deference to Vladimir Putin, which nobody at CNN will even understands or can remember. All right, when I come back, I want to talk to you about, let's talk about Czech media. I'm going to talk to you about what European media is saying about Donald Trump. What's the skinny? I've been watching it all day, and I have some interesting observations. John Wolfe up next with the news, back after this.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you live from a remote location deep in the Czech Republic. That's right. No, we did not bring the Sweet Jam Studios with us, although we should have. Instead, we brought our traveling microphone, everything set up, and I can apparently I am heard loud and clear, so that's good news. 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com is the email, and we are busy making radio great again. Deep within enemy territory. That's at least what is the popular concept, isn't it? If you watch the news, if you read the newspapers, Trump is a chump. And everyone in the world, I mean, he's just a laughingstock, right? He's just a joke. So what are the media saying about him here? I landed earlier today, spent a little time in Germany, and then made my way to the Czech Republic. So I've been watching local news every opportunity I've been able to get, here are my quick impressions. First day, and I'll follow up with you as the week progresses, because I'm here through the end of next week. So I'll have more observations for you as the days accumulate. But my observation is this. The news here is even more stupid, if you can imagine this, than the news back home. So what I think that reporters do here is they watch CNN, read the New York Times, and then dumb it down, translate it basically, but dumb it down, shorten it, and spit it out. And I tell you why, because it everything here in the news is, by the way, I had somebody come to me. Everything here in the news is absolutely worst case scenario about Trump. And people have come up to me today and said, "Well, now Sam, what's going on with Trump? Because we understand the way we understand it is he's going to be impeached like maybe middle of next week. I mean, it's imminent. So is that really what's going on? Like, how can that be? What crazy? What news?" And I start laughing. I go, "Well, look, I mean, I don't think even CNN thinks that Trump is going to get impeached next week. What they're doing is they're I don't know where that." But then I'm watching the news, and sure enough, I mean, it is dark, negative on Trump. But then when I go out and I talk to people, people go, "Yeah, you know what? Somebody told me today, yeah, I like the fact that he's not a politician. I really like that." They go, "You know, I wish we had a guy like that here, because, you know, all these politicians here in the Czech Republic, they're all in it for the money. I mean, they are just, they are in government. They are here to just make money. They're doing self-serving deals. They're corrupt as the day is long. And Trump, you know, he's this guy. He's got his own money. He's not, I don't think he's corruptible. I think he's just in there fighting for the guy." I'm like, "Yeah, that's it. I think that's a powerful, you know, assessment." But I go, have you heard that on the news?" No, I haven't. No, there's like literally no alternative media here, because it's a small country and there's not a market for it. So it's, It's interesting. Another observation too is that the media here is largely owned by, I don't know, one or two or three different entities. There's state-run TV, and the government is left-wing, so they're agitating against Trump by nature of who controls them. And then the private media here is actually owned by the prime minister. Can you imagine that? It's like if the, I don't know, it's like if Mitch McConnell, no, Paul Ryan, or the president himself, if Trump owned 21st Century Fox and had a number of newspapers like the Wall Street Journal and Fox News at his disposition, at his disposal. So that kind of thing, I mean, and they're all agitating against Trump. But it is, I'll tell you, that the interactions with people here are what is most interesting. Now, I know we're up against a hard out here, but I've got it. When I come back, let me explain that a little bit. Because people are smarter than the media, you know, than the media gives them credit for. And that's true both here and at home, certainly. All right, Sam Rogowski, back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, talking on the remote Sam Nation microphone deep within the Czech Republic. Today, I drove from Prague, from the airport in Prague, to a town, Karlovy Vary. I described the town earlier in the program. And I, you know, part of the road here is was freeway, and then part of it is just a two-lane highway. And you get stuck behind big rigs, and you've got to pass people. I don't know if you've driven in Europe, but very good driving here. But people are crazy. I mean, they take enormous risks because, you know, you're stuck behind, you know, a big rig going 35 miles an hour, and you got places to be. So you got to pass it. But there's cars, you know, there are hills, and there's cars coming against you. So I'm driving along, and I think, do they have anyone like Sweet James here? And I don't know if they do. They need somebody like Sweet James. I imagine when there's an accident here, it is spectacular. And the last thing I would want to do is go at it alone without having the right lawyer backing me up. Now, you know Sweet James is the lawyer we trust here on the show. He's the guy who's going to have your back and make sure that you are taken care of in the event that you get injured. Don't go at it alone. Don't try to do it yourself. Leave it to a professional. And the professional we recommend is Sweet James Bergner. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Nation back here talking about the situation with Trump's visit. Trump today moved over to Hamburg, Germany, the G20 summit. Now there's going to be a number of leaders there today. And this, you know, he met with the Japanese Prime Minister and the President of South Korea. I wonder what they're talking about. Could it be that little missile that Mop Top fired off on the 4th of July? Yes, it could be. So they, I am sure, talked about that. And Trump sent out a very positive tweet, something to the effect of, you know, we cannot, you know, we've come to a good agreement. And then there was a little ominous bit in there about, you know, hey, you know, we're going to have to find a solution to this North Korea business. And again, I think he's, you. Of course, he's using Twitter to threaten North Korea. For sure, Pyongyang. Somebody somewhere has a Twitter account. Their sole purpose is to follow Donald Trump. And in that sense, he doesn't have to hold a press conference or anything. He just tweets off a threat and lets Mop Top know that, you know, a new sheriff's in town. And this game is 100% psychological. The point of North Korea firing off these rockets is R&D for one, but the other part of it is a message to the West. Don't mess with us. Don't invade us. Don't hurt us. We are now nuclear. We are now armed to the teeth. We now have ICBM missiles, and we can get you. So mind your P's and Q's. And at the same time, Trump is tweeting back more or less, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you to behave. And by the way, behind me here is the strongest and bravest military in the world. And, you know, as a side note, you know, we feed our soldiers. You know, they actually eat food on a regular basis. So we have that on you. We'll watch this very closely, see what continue to follow the smoke signals. But at the summit, the G20 summit, these are opportunities. Think of these opportunities like speed dating. I don't know if you at work have any kind of a annual convention that you go to. I have one in my business. It's like that. You go there and then you can meet with all the different people you need to meet that are in your industry. And so in the space of a weekend, you can meet everybody and anybody you possibly need to see, that would otherwise take 2 or 3 weeks of your time traveling all over the state to try to meet them. So it's the same thing here. Trump has an opportunity to sit down with some of the most important world leaders and talk to them one-on-one. And a meeting like that is going to happen tomorrow with Putin. And so you've got to read Trump's actions, his visit to Poland, his defiance of Russia, and promising to provide Poland with natural gas, his reaffirmation of NATO, okay, and our commitment to NATO. All of this is a setup and precursor to his meeting with Putin, and knowing that he's going to be a thorn in Putin's side. So we'll follow that. I do want to get to the reactions here of people. I'll do that. Don't worry. I'm to talk. People hear what they think of Trump in the few conversations I've had so far. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
And here we are, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, live from the Czech Republic. It's actually technically tomorrow where I'm at, so coming to you from Friday. But I'm speaking to you as if I were at home. So for all intents and purposes, still Thursday. And I promised I would share with you some of the interactions I've had so far with people, and I'm asking them about what their impressions are of Trump, because like I mentioned, I'm watching TV here, and it's terrible. All the TV reporters do, it seems, even the print media, it seems that they read the New York Times, maybe they read the Washington Post too, but they read anti-Trump media. They watch CNN, which they get here. Easy to get CNN here. More difficult to get Fox News. So they watch CNN, they read the Times, and based on that, they sort of summarize it and spit it out. And so people, you know, people are coming up to me and they're asking me, wow, is Trump really like, you know, days away from getting the axe back home? And is he really going to get kicked out of office? And I'm telling them, no, this is nonsense. You're total nonsense. I mean, I think, you know, it hasn't. And the couple of interesting things. The first big break happened when James O'Keefe's Project Veritas videos came out about CNN basically shooting down this whole notion that Trump-Russia was real. And that bit of audio got translated and put on the news here. And apparently, I'm being told here by people on the ground that ever since then, that was a total game changer in how Trump was, you know, being reported about here. And the other thing is, people do actually follow what he tweets. It's very interesting. And in that sense, for all of you that think that the Twitter thing should just, you know, throw away his phone and shut down his account and just be presidential, the tweeting is the one way that he is able to cut. He can bypass, in a country like the Czech Republic, bypass the media and go straight to people here. And it's, you know, I know you make fun of Trump for being, you know, using third grade English, but, you know, people who are ESL can pick up on it. He doesn't use big words. And that's important too. So I think, you know, I'm looking at it here, and I'm seeing that there's some element of genius to what Trump is doing. If you're wondering, well, why the hell does it matter what, you know, what Czech citizens think of Trump? Well, you can't have it both ways. I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing from everybody about how our standing in the world is diminished. Trump is a buffoon, and he's turning us into a laughingstock. Not really. I think people here realize, and a number of them that I've talked to realize that they know what's up, and they know the media is lying to them, and they are waiting to give Trump a chance. All right, I'll be back tomorrow night, still here in Carlo Vivari. Look forward to chatting some more then. And hey, come travel with me. I'm here all through next week, so be here live from the Czech Republic. What fun. All right, let's talk tomorrow night. People, keep up.